attention.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are now on scene with the LEO Sideshow, the one and only podcast that opens the discussions about what police do and why they do it. We are bringing a fresh new look on the relationship between the police and the public. Now for the part in our show where we must give you a legal disclaimer. Spoiler alert, people in the United States sue other people for just about anything. So therefore, the topics being discussed in the LEO Sideshow are merely the opinions of the hosts and their guests. These topics and discussions are in no way intended to be legal advice for your specific area or incident. Please consult with your local attorney or your local district attorney's office or your local police department for your specific laws and ordinances in your jurisdiction.
All right, here we are, episode 9. You're at the LEO Sideshow. It is a beautiful Saturday afternoon, and Patrick and I are stuck in the office doing this just for you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
Welcome. Well, actually, it's extremely windy out, and it's like a real feel of 30. Did you see tomorrow? It's going to be about 70, though.
See, that's what I'm seeing.
Monday is supposed to be like 70.
I'll take it.
Yeah. It's supposed to be nice.
We didn't get it too bad this year, so
no,
I'm happy with
that. Been really mild.
So, episode 9 today, we are going to dive into the civilian taser. Now, this is kind of piggybacking off of the Don't Tase Me Bro episode from a couple ago, because from some of the comments and stuff that we got on social media, they wanted to know a little bit more about some of the civilian taser stuff, not just the police taser stuff. So that's why we're bringing it to you
live,
so we can educate you. Yeah, well, I guess we're always live.
We're always live.
So okay, so let's begin here, Patrick. Today our word of the day is possession. Why the heck would we even go over the word possession? Why is that? What does it have to relate to with law enforcement? Can you tell our great audience what we're talking about here?
So possession in general speaking is you are actually either holding something or something is with you. But in law enforcement, we have two versions of possession, and we call those versions constructive and actual. So, Frank, do you want to describe what actual is? Because it's usually the easier definition to understand.
All right. I have something in my hand. I'm actually in possession of this object. So let's make it even easier. Let's just do a gun, right? Because we're always thinking guns. Because we could do drugs, we could do other things, but let's do a gun. So actual possession. I saw Patrick with a gun in his hand. That's actual possession. Or Patrick is getting arrested for a warrant because he never shoveled his sidewalk and he's got a warrant for snow and ice removal. So now I'm arresting him and I find a gun in his waistband. That is actual possession. He has, in my opinion, he has no defense on why that gun is there.
Correct.
He possessed it. And what the problem is most likely if he's getting charged with it, he wasn't supposed to have a gun in the first place, or maybe he didn't have a permit to carry concealed, like we talked about in episode
two or three. I can't remember now. We've been doing this so long. We're old.
Crazy long.
We're old. Not as old
veteran
as V.
Podcasters.
Not as old as V, though.
Oh, goodness. I don't think she listens to this episode, so our okay. Podcast.
Anyway, so that's the easiest way to describe actual possession. But when in law enforcement, we come across this term called constructive possession. Okay. And constructive possession, the best way to describe it is somebody knowingly in their mind has possession of an item, but may not physically have the touch or feel of that item. Okay. And I know that's kind of confusing, but it's easier to describe scenarios. So I witness Frank driving 85 and a 40, and I pull him over for speeding. Okay. He's driving way too fast. Okay. There are three people in the car. It's Frank and John and George. Frank, John, and George. Okay. So we call that three occupants, one driver. All right. So during the course of the investigation, we may end up seeing something in the car. We may take somebody into custody, but we see a gun sticking out from underneath the back seat. Okay. So we don't have actual possession, correct?
No, nobody actually has possession of that.
Correct. Nobody is touching the gun. Okay. And we have three people in the car. Okay. So we kind of have to prove that the gun belongs to someone. Okay. And we do that through interviews. It could be a long way down the road through DNA.
We're not saying anything.
Yeah. Without if Frank is just going to shut his mouth.
Right. Or, I'm telling George and John to be quiet.
Correct. And it could be fingerprints. Now, you also, in that situation, you want to really articulate, I think we used that word before, articulate how the gun was positioned in the car, because if it's underneath the passenger seat, sticking out from behind the passenger seat, the front passenger seat, you as a driver, Frank, are probably not going to be able to access that gun right away. It's going to be really difficult for you to do that. Where somebody in the back seat who's sitting right there could just reach down and grab it, especially if it's positioned the way maybe the gun's facing forward with the handle to where a right-handed person in the backseat would be able to grab it right away. Okay. It's kind of hard to describe that without you seeing it visually. But in that case, we have what's called constructive possession. We have to prove that somebody knowingly, mentally, intelligently, informatively possessed that gun and had access to possessing that gun. Okay. That may be a little confusing at first, but that's probably the best scenario. It's the same way with drugs. We do a search warrant inside a house and we find drugs in somebody's bedroom or in an area like in the kitchen. We still have to prove that the drugs were that resident's or that person's drugs who lives there or has access to that home, even though they're not physically touching it. So usually, it requires a lot of what we circumstantial evidence. So
yeah,
asking questions, you know, doing a little digging as far as investigation, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You have written down on our show notes that actual possession is 100% easier to convict or charge so that, because it's easy, you know, what defense are you going to have? Now I am laughing right now because with drugs, and I think we've posted this a couple of weeks ago on our social media accounts about how we have heard in the past that these aren't my pants,
right?
Because the drugs are found in the pockets, and they're so the only defense that they have is to say that these aren't my pants and I never checked the pockets, even though it is absolutely ridiculous. We have heard it, but I've never seen it successfully get somebody out of a conviction.
I don't think that's ever happened. Now, right. I did want to mention this. Constructive possession, in that case, we talked about like multiple people in a car or multiple people in a house. You can actually have multiple people possessing that gun, correct, Frank?
Yeah. And sometimes, yeah, depending on where it's at, say if the gun is found in the center console, you could charge probably anybody in the car.
Yes.
Doesn't mean you're going to get a conviction.
No. And a lot of times when, you know, we always say that if there's drugs in the car and everybody access to it, if nobody talks and we're charging everybody, well, it depends on the situation. And we might try to do some more digging as far as investigation wise, but that could be an ending to the solution is, hey, everybody gets charged. Everybody has access to the drugs. And, you know, we know that we may have other information about your dealings with drugs, drug sales, drug possession, all that, you know, whether you may or may not be a user, but everybody could get charged. And that's kind of the way sometimes it happens. Now, does everybody get it convicted? Like Frank said, probably not in the long run. Could they be? Yeah. Just because there's one item doesn't mean two people can't possess it. And that's how we have to differentiate between actual and constructive possession.
Right. And we went over this briefly that it's going to depend on your articulation about how everything goes down. And it's also going to depend on the other parts of the investigation. Do we already know that Patrick is this big drug dealer, and or are we going to take the phones and do search warrants on the phones? Is someone going to talk? If there's three people and one of them's like, yo, I'm on probation, I cannot get in trouble, you know, maybe they're going to talk to us. But there's other ways to go around it. But when you have a constructive possession case, you better be prepared to have your T's crossed and your I's dotted, because you're going to, if you have a good defense attorney, they're going to pick it apart.
They are.
Because, you know, our main thing is that, you know, I always tell, as we're training young guys in the department, and they're like, yep, I charged the driver of the car with the gun that was found in the glove compartment. Well, they may have a good defense, because what if it is their friend's car and they're borrowing it? How many times do you, Patrick, get into your wife's car and look through her glove compartment before you start driving?
I look through a car. My wife has a tendency to like leave 20 million water bottles in the car, like half drank. I don't need to look through a car.
Do you guys recycle?
We do. I'm actually a big recycler. She'll tell you that I'm a big recycler. I even go as far as to recycle the plastic bags and take them to the grocery store.
That is one step further.
Hey, man, I'm trying to save the environment.
Keep it green.
Keep it green. So anyway, that kind of wraps up constructive versus actual possession. And the big thing to understand is constructive usually can take a little more investigation. Doesn't mean you may actually have a lot of circumstantial evidence for your case, and it could be a rock solid case, you know, especially with a search warrant. But you just usually have to have a little more evidence to go along with that to help prove your case.
But for the civilians out there listening to this podcast, if you heard about somebody getting charged with anything, whether and it was in the car or in a house, and you're wondering how the heck did they get charged with this stuff? Well, now you know they probably got charged because it was constructively possessed.
Yes.
And you can explain that to them. Or if you yourself are going through this, then you understand that constructive possession is a thing. You can be charged with it. You can be put in cuffs and taken down and be fingerprinted and photographed and arraigned, whatever it is. But it is a real thing. And it is kind of confusing because you don't actually have to have it in your hands.
Yep.
But just let you know that the officer is going to have to do a little bit more work to get a conviction. But that's why we have our criminal justice system. When you go to the preliminary hearing and the judge says there is no evidence of you possessing this, you know, gun or drugs, then it's done and over with.
But hopefully in that theory, you did a little more digging as the officer, and that's not the ending you envision.
Yeah,
when you brought the charges.
Right. And, you know, that goes to the officer doing a good investigation so that you keep innocent people innocent and you keep the guilty people guilty. Right. So you don't want to take somebody that's innocent and take them through the system.
We call it doing their due dilly.
Due dilly.
Due dilly.
Diligence.
Due diligence.
All right. Now we are on to the case study of the week. How do you pronounce this name? Satano?
Isn't your daughter doing phonics right now? Ask her.
She is. She's doing language arts.
She probably knows this more than we do.
She'd probably say Kate. I don't know what she'd say. Caetano.
It's Caetano. I would say Satano.
That's what we're going to go with.
I think that's a good
name. Sideshow's going with Satano. So we have Satano v. Massachusetts. It's an interesting case. It goes along with our possession, and it goes along with our civilian use of taser, because Jamie Satano was convicted of possession of a stun gun in Massachusetts when she used it to protect herself. So after she used this stun gun to protect herself, the police charged her with the crime of possessing a stun gun, because at that time, stun guns were illegal to possess other than by police or military in Massachusetts. So she appealed and claimed that her conviction violated her Second Amendment right to possess a weapon to protect herself and use it in self-defense. So the she appealed it, and the Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts affirmed the conviction and held that the stun gun is not eligible for the Second Amendment protection. Now, at this time, there were many, many states across the United States that did not allow for stun guns or tasers to be possessed by civilians. And this is a great case that went up through and was heard by SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States. So the question was that kept getting, because this was appealed again, the question was, does the Second Amendment protect the right to possess a stun gun for self-defense? And I believe this was a good ruling by SCOTUS that they said that it does allow civilians to possess stun guns for self-defense. And I'll quote them by saying, the Second Amendment extends prima facie to all instruments that constitute bearable arms, even though those that were not in existence at the time of the founding. So basically what that's saying is that even though the Second Amendment was written up in the late 1700s, and stun guns were not even a thing or a thought in anybody's mind, and they probably thought it was some weird futuristic stuff about electricity and whatever, but it extends to all that. So Justice Alito says that the reasoning of the Massachusetts court poses a grave threat to the fundamental right of self-defense. And he goes on to further say that if the fundamental right of self-defense does not protect Satano, then the safety of all Americans is left to the mercy of the state authorities, who may be more concerned about disarming people than keeping them safe. So basically what Justice Alito is saying is that, you know, the government should not limit what people can use to save themselves from harm, because that can cause an issue.
It comes back to the government not infringing on your rights, basically.
Your right to bear arms.
Your right to bear arms. Not hairy arms, but bear arms.
Yes, you said that was from Family Guy.
Family Guy.
So this is good. So after this case came down, so a lot of states had to change their laws because, you know, like we said in previous episodes, the Supreme Court of the United States, when they come out with case law, it sets the baseline that we must abide by in the states. So now all these states that had banned them now must allow them. And we'll put this in our show notes. Actually, let's see. Do we want to? I think that's it for the case. Let's move on. Wow. Do you have anything to say about Satano?
No, I mean, I think the Supreme Court's making the argument that, you know, if you have the right to a firearm, why are we going to infringe on that right to a stun gun? Theoretically, they're just applying the principles set forth in the Second Amendment to the principles set forth in possessing a stun gun. Now, as we're going to talk about, there are restrictions for that, and certain states have those.
Yeah. So let's talk about these stun guns. We briefly talked about this in the Don't Tase Me, Bro episode, but we have stun guns and tasers. And the best way to think about these and to differentiate them are that stun guns are the handheld device that's got two metal prongs at the end of it that is going to have an arcing, arcing.
Shocking sound. Get it?
Well, yeah, you get that. But it's all it's going to do is the probes are going to be shoved into the clothing or the body.
Right, it's more of a
pain.
Jerking shock motion / pain compliance thing.
Yeah. And then the tasers are actually going to be where it's stun guns, but they shoot probes go out.
Yeah, and that lasts 5 seconds, usually. Or could more if you have your finger on the trigger for that, but that's kind of the difference.
So as civilians go, if you're trying to decide on which one to get, there's a couple of things that you need to be concerned about. We have a pros and cons list here for you. So let's start off with the taser. Now, we've talked about this in the past, that taser is owned by Axon, and tasers are now the common word used to describe any incapacitation device that shoots probes. Whereas instead, it's really just the brand name. But we're going to use it here because that's what everybody uses. So tasers for a pro. So the biggest pro, in my opinion, is that you have the standoff distance to your, whatever guy is trying to harm you.
Now, audience, side note here. Frank is actually a taser instructor for our department. So he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, at least I'll sound like I know what I'm talking about.
But you're right. And I believe the best distance is what, Frank? 15 feet to get that heart-to-dart ratio?
No, I'd say probably at least 7, but probably 10 is good. 10 feet.
Didn't they used to teach us 15 feet?
Well, you're getting about a 12-inch
okay,
spread.
Maybe between 10 and 15 feet. But yeah, I get
I think that's just a general rule of thumb. At least want to be about 7 feet away.
But you can't go any further than 25, right?
Well, okay, so if you're talking about the civilian taser from Taser, then you have different distances compared to our taser. So we're talking about the Taser Pulse. You're talking about is that what you're talking about? The one that Taser offers?
Yeah, that might be that one.
Let me look it up. I'm going to look at the Taser Pulse.
And we're doing real life research, folks. Live for us, not for you.
Yeah. All right, so listen to this. Okay, this is a lot different than ours. So the Taser Pulse, now this thing looks like a small handgun. And again, it's trigger, safety, all that stuff, but it's going to shoot probes instead of bullets. So it's manufactured by Axon. It discharges a 30-second shock.
Oh my God, I feel bad for that person.
Yeah, well, do you know, why do you think they delivered a 30-second shot? I'll tell you why. Because it's civilian usage. So you're meant to hit the person that's trying to do you harm or do another person harm. It's going to shock them and hopefully get that neuromuscular incapacitation where they have no use and they're on the ground screaming in agony, not able to go anywhere. And they can get away because remember, in most, I would say almost in all the states, that the civilians have a duty to retreat,
right?
Whereas police do not. Civilians do. You can't continue to fight when there is no more fight. So hit the person with the 30-second shock, grab the person that was about to get hurt, or you yourself, get out of town. It gives you 30-second head start before that bad guy is coming after you.
That's crazy. 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So would you like to test that?
No. I want to say, so our last taser instructor at our agency was down in Arizona. What town is it in Arizona? Your buddy lives there.
Phoenix.
No, I thought he lived in a town outside.
Scottsdale.
Yeah. I think that's where Axon is.
Scottsdale.
And,
I'm going to miss that place.
He went to Scottsdale, Arizona and got hooked up to like an EKG and taser monitored his breathing and heart rate. And he got, I think it was a 30-second shock.
That is insane.
And you know what he got from it?
What?
A t-shirt. He didn't get paid. He got a t-shirt. He got a 30-second shock.
And you know what's funny? It's probably one of those cheap t-shirts that we use for like cleaning. It's a rag now.
You're probably right. But he was kind of a different
guy. That is so not worth the pain.
Yeah. So anyway, with the Taser Pulse, you have a 15 feet distance. And again, it's very similar to the rest of the police taser where you have 50,000 volts of electricity going through you. Remember that number, 50,000. So again, so the Taser Pulse is a little bit different than the law enforcement one because it's a 30-second shock. That's huge. And then you have 15 feet at the distance there. So ours is, I mean, we can get different cartridges, but ours, the normal one that we carry around is a 25 feet probe. So, all right, so let's go back to some of this stuff. So that's a pro, to stand off at a distance and be able to shoot your attacker with this taser pulse. The reason why is because you don't have to get close to them. Because you and I know that a lot of fights, once you're in the fight, you're going to the ground, and it can be ugly. And the other thing that's great, that's probably the biggest one. So you can keep your distance. The other great thing, and we talked about it, is the neuromuscular incapacitation. This is where those probes hit you and they take you out of the game. You no longer have use.
Is this what we refer to as the heart to dart?
No.
What's the heart to dart?
That's tasers or Axon's way of keeping you, telling officers to stay away from shooting your darts near the heart so that the electrical current does not pass through the heart.
Okay.
And they encourage officers to increase the heart to dart distance. That way, yeah, you can shoot towards the belt line. So okay. That's what they're talking about there.
But when you're talking NMI, you're talking the ability where the person just has a greater chance of being incapacitated so that you can affect the arrest.
Yeah. But again, for civilians here, you want them to be incapacitated so you can run away. So if you,
well, that's why it's longer. You know, that's why it's 30 seconds.
Yeah. So when you shoot this bad guy with the taser and you get one probe to hit in the stomach and one probe to hit in the lower thigh, that's going to lock that person up so that they can't run after you.
Right.
You know, so that's what the civilian use is there. Yeah, you know, and for our use, yeah, we're going in, we're making an arrest and cuffing them. But so you want to go over our con? What do you think is a con for the taser?
Well, pulse? The first one is accuracy. So yeah, you have a distance, but your accuracy may not be as great because, as we all know from shooting, the further back you get, the less accurate you become.
Your margin of error, the further you go back, is going to increase.
Yes.
So one good thing that we should be getting paid by Taser here. One good thing about the Taser Pulse is it's got a laser.
It's got a laser?
Yeah, a laser. Did you see my air quotes?
I did not see those.
I'll do it again. Laser. Do you know what movie that's from?
Hold on. Laser.
Sharks with laser beams attached to their freaking heads.
Oh, is that Austin Powers?
Yes, that's Austin Powers.
Oh, I thought you know what I was originally thinking? The movie Dodgeball. I was thinking what the three characters? It was like Blaze, Laser, and Blazer trying to make remember American Gladiator?
Yes, I remember.
Dodgeball was just on some channel the other day. I was watching it. It's a funny movie. Anyway,
going back. So yeah, they have a laser, so that is going to increase your accuracy. But you know, just as like I do, that when there is an oh crap moment, you probably don't even see that laser. You got some tunnel vision going on. You're at full body alarm. You're not seeing right. You're not hearing stuff. Your auditory exclusion. Man, our range instructor right now would be so happy with me throwing out these words.
Actually, I think he does listen.
Does he?
Yeah. He's excited he's taking the program back over.
CA.
CA.
Yeah.
Well, what's his first name again? No, his name that we're going to use for this.
We don't know.
No, he told me the other day. Randall? Maybe it's Randall. Maybe.
We'll have to have him on the show.
We will. I'm pretty sure it's Randall. I remember that.
He kind of has. He's
Shout out
he
Randall.
Did, he did talk about having his own podcast.
Anyway, he is the range instructor, does the SWAT team stuff, so he understands that margin of error increases the further back you get.
Right. So the distance. Distance is also another con. Why did I write distance as a con also? If distance is good because we can stand back. Why would distance be bad?
For the civilian use?
Oh, that's why. I know why. Because with this taser, the taser pulse, distance is good because you will have distance and you don't need to get close to use it. But if you are close and you must use it, then you might, it's not as good.
Right.
You need some distance to use this to get that good neuromuscular incapacitation. So if you already are in that arm's reach, or maybe that person is on top of you and you must use this taser pulse, that's not going to be a great thing. So that's that.
That's the pros and cons of the taser.
The probes. The probes.
The pros. Not probes. Pros and cons.
The probes and cons. We always have like one pun.
That should be our show title. The probes and cons.
That is, we're doing it. We're doing it.
Okay, perfect. Good job. Good job, Frank.
The probes and cons. So now let's do the probes and cons for the stun guns.
Stun guns.
All right, so this is funny. So the pros is that there's a powerful jolt of electricity. So you have a large...
That's kind
large...
of what I was describing. Like that like initial like shock.
Yes.
Not like, no pun intended, but that initial shock of you feel it and you're like, oh my God. That's what I was getting at.
Man, so you were just getting ahead of yourself.
I was. I did not even know that was the first one. But with that comes that pain compliance where it's like, oh, what's that? What's that one YouTube video? Charlie bit me.
I'm not even gonna try to do my
come on.
My English one.
Yeah.
Ouch! Charlie bit me.
That YouTube.
Ouch,
video.
Charlie.
We're not talking that. We're talking like decent amount of pain compliance. So that's the pro of it. You're when you put that stun gun on somebody, it is gonna hurt them, yeah, not you. It might hurt you to watch them get hurt, but they're gonna get hurt.
I don't know. The other pro is that you really don't need any skill.
No.
It's like a plug and play.
Yeah.
That's good. Because again, you know, we talked about it's kind of a pro because you don't need much training. You're just going to stick the probes, push the front of the stun gun towards the person and do it. You know, there's another pro of this, and I didn't write this down. You know how when you rack a shotgun?
Wait.
Okay, good.
Pro or probe?
This is going to be a pro because it's about the stun gun.
Okay, good. Continue.
So you know how when you rack a shotgun, it's kind of that, you get that cool sound? Yes. Yeah, I'd do more of like a chuk-chuk. But, I mean, we could do chuk. But anyway, you know how you get that it's actually like almost like a show of force, right? Well, the same thing with that stun gun, you set that thing off, you're going to get that ka 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 ka. Is that how you would describe it?
That almost probably sounds like some type of animal in the Amazon.
Mating, like a mating call.
But all right. I like the effort.
Yeah, thank you. But anyway, that noise, hey, you're about to get mugged or whatever it is. That noise could be enough of a deterrence to prevent the attack. So that's good. All right. What are the cons here?
Cons of a stun gun, the distance.
Yeah.
And the distance is because you're going to have to be up close.
Yeah. You're probably within arm's reach. Yeah. So you're talking about 3 feet or less?
Yeah. So when we talked about that ability to try to get away with the taser, especially a 30-second taser shot with good NMI, the con for a stun gun is you're going to be right up close. You may have to engage in a physical fight with this person, and you won't have a chance to get away. So the distance will affect that.
I have two other cons that I just thought of when you were speaking.
Oh my gosh. You just keep extending this podcast. And the other con is that we have written down here that Frank did not just think of was it's pain compliance only. So you're not getting that NMI, that incapacitation that will allow you to, for a police officer to be an effective arrest, but for the citizen to be the time to get away and find something, you know, find a place to run to, hide, or get a safer, you could even get elevation at that point. But yeah.
And to go along further with that, with pain compliance only, you and I have seen people fight through some really bad pain, whether that be OC spray or even the taser.
Especially people that we deal with when they're hopped up on drugs and alcohol.
Yes. So that is also a con for this, is that because it's only pain compliance only, somebody might be able to fight through that pain of the stun gun.
All right.
So the one that I just thought of was, we are just coming out of winter. You said it's like a real feel of 30 today. So what would be a con with a stun gun or a taser here? The weather.
It's cold outside.
And you're all balked up.
Bundled up. Like you. You're wearing a sexy tank top right now.
Yeah.
What is that? Oh, my God. I can't even describe to you what is on his tank top right now.
Yeah, I can't even tell you where we got it from because,
look like a skater guy who smoked in the corner of your high school.
I'm shaking my head right now. This is constant. Just because I used to BMX and skate when I was a youngster, you have something against me.
I have something.
Was that our manager?
Yeah, that was our manager. She's poking in. Come here. Come here, manager. She says no thanks. She's writing something down for me.
Is it the next word of the day?
No, she's...
Is it your to-do list?
No, it's not my to-do list.
All right. I bet you I know what it is. They're probably getting an order from Chick-fil-A.
No. She actually went to Chick-fil-A and brought me back a drink, but...
Milkshake?
No, just Coke Zero. I'm trying to lower the calories, go and diet. I need some. I need a pick-me-up. I actually didn't get anything to eat because I had a big breakfast.
So what I'm getting to here is that if for either of these tasers, the taser or the stun gun, if the person's wearing some big old jacket because it's freezing cold outside, or the three pairs of pants, it may not have that much
of an effect.
But because the voltage is so high on these, a lot of times it will arc, which the arcing of the clothes.
Can you make that sound?
I'm just going to do it. I already did it. You can play it back. Make it your ringtone. Hello. All right. So, and then the other one that I wrote down was that the only good use of this stun gun is when it's actually on the person.
Right.
So when you're making your getaway, as soon as you release that stun gun from that person's body, they're not going to be disoriented enough, especially if they're really set on trying to do whatever. They're not going to be so disoriented that they can't chase you or try it again. So unless they don't want that pain again and they back off, then that might be the time to be able to get away. But if they are really trying to assault or come after you or whatever it is, there's a good chance that as soon as you let go of that taser or that stun gun on their body, they're going to come after you.
Right.
That's a con.
That's a con.
Mm-hmm.
Not a pro.
So let's briefly talk about the legality, and I'm going to put this in our show notes. I have a great map of the United States it's from buytaser.com.
And before you get to that, Frank, I told you before the episode, and I showed him some. There are states with laws, and I don't know the exact number of them, but just like the case law refers to a stun gun as almost having that Second Amendment right, when we talked about restrictions, there are states where, if you're a convicted felon for certain crimes, you can't possess a firearm at all. Same would actually apply for stun guns. If you're a convicted felon, it's actually a crime to even possess a stun gun. And we talk about possession, we talk about actual and constructive. But if you, again, we give the example, you arrest somebody for a warrant and they have a stun gun on them, you verify that they're a convicted felon, that actually just could be a crime in and of itself for them possessing that stun gun.
Right. So like we say at the beginning of every episode, check your local laws and ordinances, police departments, district attorney's office, whoever.
Good
job, Frank. This map of the United States, I mean, the one that I'm looking at here, almost all the United States is in this green zone, which is no restrictions on stun guns or tasers. There are three or four states that say that you must get a permit There is two states that say that there's just other requirements. There's a state or two that says that you must have a background check. So as far as I can tell, almost all the states allow it, except for, wait, this one says
only allowed for home defense.
That one is for who?
New
Hampshire?
No, that's Connecticut.
Yes.
Yeah, because that small one there is Rhode Island. Shout out to small Rhode Island. But that looks like it's Connecticut. It's the one below Massachusetts, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a couple. There's, again, we tell you to check your local laws and ordinances. But for the most part, after Caetano v. Massachusetts, a lot of states had to change around what they do. And it's very similar to firearms laws in the states, where some people require different restrictions and requirements for possessing a firearm concealed. You know, this is that they do. They have the same right to kind of make their own path to allow people to carry stun guns and tasers. So that's that.
That's that.
So we are coming down to a close here. Very, very quickly here. Now we're going to talk about which is the most popular stun gun and the most popular taser on the market for civilian use. That way, if you're listening to this episode and you don't want to go buy a gun for protection, and the taser is something, or this electric incapacitation device, if you're looking at that, now you can go out and purchase this. Now, I don't know why. There's some people who just cannot get over the fact that if they carry a gun, they might have to take somebody's life. And I'm completely fine with that, because there's some people that just don't want to go that route. That's their prerogative. So these would be great alternatives to where you would have a sense of protection. Well, it depends. So let's go into it. The taser pulse, we kind of talked about it a couple times throughout this episode. The taser pulse is manufactured by Axon, who makes all the majority of the police agency tasers. And right now you can buy a taser pulse for $277. So it's not cheap, but it is cheaper than most firearms, because I would say you can probably get a good firearm, a decent name brand firearm,
now
reliable, for about $350.
Taser's website?
No, I have a link right here.
Amazon?
Going to Amazon.
Man, Amazon has everything.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see here. I'm on Amazon's website.
Prime, you can get that in 2 days.
So on Amazon's website, it is $344.95.
Wow.
What you get, two cartridges, and yeah. I mean, it looks like it's selling pretty good here. You want me to tell you how many it's selling a month?
Yes. How many?
I don't know. I got to look it up.
Real life Amazon research.
Amazonian.
I love Amazon. Who doesn't love Amazon?
I don't know. You have Prime, right?
I got Prime. I got Amazon Music. I watch Amazon shows.
Do you really? Which shows do you watch?
I watch The Boys.
Is that coming back out here soon?
Nah, they're working on season 2. Mm. We're not trying to promote shows, but that is a good show.
I like that show.
Yeah.
All right, so they're selling about 90 a month on Amazon Prime right now.
Wow.
Yeah, not. I mean, it's decent, right?
Yeah, decent.
All right. So it's about $350. So really, this would be for the people who want to have an alternative to a firearm, because you're really spending about the same amount of money. So the alternative to that is, if you don't have a lot of money, but you still want to have that be able to protect yourself, we could talk about the most popular stun gun for civilians. So the most popular one is called the ViperTech VTS 989. It is the most widely recommended stun gun on the market. It's got these two long probes that come out so that it can penetrate some clothing. It has a flashlight on it.
Stun gun.
It has a flashlight that you can shine it. And what's cool is that on the tip of the it kind of looks like a, I don't even know what it looks like here, but it kind of looks like a flashlight head, right? On around that head of the stun gun, it has these two metal bars that go down the side of it. So if that bad guy tries to grab onto it to take it from you, they'll actually get shocked that way too.
Ouch. Yeah.
So what do you think? So the taser's voltage is 50,000 volts. What do you think the stun gun's voltage is?
More.
Yeah. How about like a lot more? 300 million volts. So 300 million.
Hurt. That's probably going to hurt.
I can't imagine how bad that hurts. That's got to hurt. All right. So now I just blew your mind with the 300 million volts compared to 50,000 volts. I'm going to blow your mind one more time here, Patrick. The Taser Pulse costs $350. What is the Viper Tech? It is, let me just remind you, it is number one on the market. It's got a flashlight. It's got the thing to prevent people from stealing from you.
But can I purchase it on Amazon?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think it's available for 2-day shipping though.
I'm going to guess it's probably what, like maybe $100?
Way off. Okay. Way off.
All right. $99.
Nope. I'm just going to tell you because we'll spend all the thing here.
$98.
You can get your ViporTech VTS 989 for one easy payment of $21.99.
That's insane.
$21.99.
And it is insane. I failed on prices, right?
So let me tell you how many of those are selling a month. Now this one's going to
based on the $21.99, I would say a lot more than the taser.
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking per month, maybe 300.
Are you ready for this?
Why are you laughing?
Because yeah. You're so off.
Okay. Can I change my answer? Because at least I didn't, based on your reaction, I have not failed the prices right and I'm lower. So can I add another zero to it?
Yes.
Is that closer?
No.
How about two more zeros?
So what are you at? 1,000?
No, I said 300, 3,000. Now I'm at 30,000.
No, you can't add another zero. Okay. You're over. You're out.
All right. Okay. So 3,000. I'm going to go 5,000.
More.
10,000.
More.
More than 10,000 a month?
11,000 month on estimating. Now that can fluctuate up and down, but right now it is selling at 11,000 units a month.
That's insane.
That is insane. Whoever's selling that is making some bank.
Anyway. You mean Amazon?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, they're not the manufacturer, but.
So that's it. So listen. Let us know if you have any issue or issues with the episode. Why not, right? But if you have any questions about the episode, questions about stun guns, tasers, we are not going to be experts, but we do use tasers every day on the job, and we know enough about them to steer you in the right direction if you need any.
Yes, and I don't think stun guns can prevent the coronavirus from spreading.
Yeah, wash your hands, people. Stop touching your mouths and everything. Yeah. It's funny. I saw a meme the other day that said that what's scarier, the coronavirus or that people are flabbergasted that washing your hands prevents the spread of germs and viruses. It's like, yeah, I guess you're right.
You know who washes their hands correctly?
Doctors.
No. Well, you would think. And my son, because they teach him, and he taught me this. You wash your hands and you sing happy birthday as you're washing your hands. And that's the length of time it takes to wash your hands.
Isn't that the same thing you're supposed to do with brushing your teeth, except for you're supposed to sing happy birthday twice when brushing your teeth?
And you're supposed to never let the water run.
Did you learn that from Dora the Explorer?
No, I learned that from Barney.
Yeah. I guess Barney was more your time.
No, well, apparently it's being replayed when.
Is it?
Yeah. I watched it. That's what my kid taught me. Yeah. YouTube, wow. Man.
Oh, dude, YouTube kids.
Anyway, that was a good episode.
Yeah, I like it. It was I mean, I thought it was going to be shorter than this, but. Yeah.
Informative.
Yeah.
We didn't even say goodbye, folks.
What?
We didn't say goodbye.
Well, let's say goodbye. Go ahead. Right. Finish it up.
Well, for Frank, I'm Patrick signing off the LEO Sideshow. And we hope to see you next week. Again, like, rate, and subscribe and give us a 5-star review. We've appreciate those that have already done so. And reach out to us on Twitter and our Instagram accounts. And you can also email us at what, Frank?
TheLEOSideshow@gmail.com.
Reach out to us, folks. Have a good day.
Great day.
Peace. Bye-bye.